Thursday, the 25th of October, Rabbi Yonah and Chodi, Binyan.
Good morning, gentlemen. Nice to have the privilege to be back here today and share. Today, I'd like to discuss the melacha of Binyan. Binyan is one of the 39 melachos of Shabbos. It's the 34th in the Mishnah. And particularly in the context of Binyan Bekelim. And I'll give an example of the following situation. If one's glass is broke on Shabbos, perhaps the screw of the temple that attaches the temple to the frame of the glass came out, what is the din on Shabbos? May you repair it? Is it muktzah? That's the case that we'll discuss. And we'll start with the fundamentals of the melacha of binyan. And the binyan we find in the Mishkan was connected with the construction of the actual Mishkan itself, the mechitzas of the Mishkan and the oil. The Koroshim were fitted together. They were fitted together with in a precise way. There was a tenon joint that connected the beams to the Adonim, and then there were hooks and pegs and rings that fitted the whole structure together so that you had a proper firm mechitza. And on top of that was constructed a shelter, the Urios, that provided a shelter inside the Mishkan. That is where we find the idea of binyan in the Mishkan. And the halacha is that any construction which is attached to the ground, which is a land-based structure, is included in the melacha. However big, however small, anything that is attached to the ground is considered part of the melacha. Now, how does that relate itself to binyan and kelim in vessels, small vessels? So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says that if you had a menorah of chulios, a menorah of chulios is a small menorah, a candelabra, made of small components that were fitted together loosely. There was no firm attachment of the pieces to each other, but they are fitted together loosely. And the Gemara tells us that that is subject to machlokes b'shamay b'silah, whether we say yes binyan b'kelim or whether we say ein binyan b'kelim. According to b'shamay, yes binyan b'kelim, so fitting together a menorah even loosely would come under the category of binyan and kelim. And according to b'silah, ein binyan b'kelim, there is no such a thing, as we tend to explain, no such a thing as binyan, the melacha of boina, in the construction of this type of keli. However, there are other Gemaras, two other Gemaras, where we find clearly that the Gemara tells us that if you have also a menorah, but this time the pieces are being fit together firmly. There the Gemara says that if you do that on Shabbos, there's a chiyuv chatos. Similarly, the Gemara talks about a case of a table which craftsmen used to use. Table of craftsmen. It was a type of table that was made of small, of individual components. The craftsman or salesman would transport it while it was disassembled, and then when they got to wherever they wanted to sell their wares, demonstrate what they could do, their skill, they would then fit the table together and use it to display their wares and material. It was a table of craftsmen, workbench. That was made of small components. And the Gemara says that if a person, if he fitted that together on Shabbos, it's an Issa Drabonon, Kezeiro, Shemo, Yitzka, in case you may come to fix it together firmly. And this is subject to Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosfos, what the Issa would be if you fitted it together firmly. Rashi says, well, Ein Binyan B'Kelim. According to Rashi, there is no such a thing. Whatever type of construction you make when it comes to Kelim, binyan is not applicable. In the Mishkan, we only find binyan in connection with a structure that was land-based, attached to the ground. However, there is another melacha involved. There's the melacha of Makah B'Patish. Melacha of Makah B'Patish, which we'll explain for our purposes now, is enabling something to be used, making something usable, without any construction, as it were, but making it usable. And if you do that for the first time particularly, that would come under the melacha of Matur Patish. So Rashi says that in this case, if the craftsman fitted together his table firmly, that would come under the melacha of Matur Patish. Tosfos disagrees. When Tosfos makes a difference between binyan within kelim, so where you already have a kelim, and it's dismantled and you have to rejoin it, and the join is loosely, so that we can't consider it to be the manufacture of a kelim. There Tosfos agrees ain binyan b'kelim. However, if the kelim is being constructed for the first time and you are making a kelim, oisa kelim is the wording of Tosfos, then that comes under the category of binyan, and there is binyan b'kelim. So while we are accustomed to believe that ain binyan b'kelim, that is only within a kelim, but the construction of a kelim is binyan, and this is the halacha. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch that we say binyan b'kelim in this way. So halacha in Shin Yudale, the first sif, there it says that the only time where we say ain binyan b'kelim is in a weak structure, where the pieces aren't fitted together firmly, but in a structure where the pieces are fitted together firmly and you're constructing this for the very first time, there we would say binyan. So what's the connection to the Mishkan? How is this related to the Av Melacha of Boina that we find in the Mishkan? That was only in connection with a land-based structure. How do we get from there to binyan within Canaan? So if you have to consider the components of the structure in the Mishkan. As we said, the Kerashim were fitted together. It was a precise way. There was a common joint that joined the Kerashim to the Adonim. There were rings, there were sockets. All that is involved in the creation of the Mechitza of the Mishkan. Those very same activities are involved in the creation of a Kelim. You also have to make the join very carefully. You make a table, you have to construct it so that the pieces fit together firmly. Individual components are fitted together in exactly the same way. So let's look at your Kalas HaShabbos, that a tolda of a melacha can be in one of the following ways. A tolda can be that although the tachlis of the melacha is not the same as it was in the Mishkan, but if the pa'ula, the activity that is involved, was the same as was in the Mishkan, it can come under the category of the melacha as a tolda. Therefore, says the Kalas HaShabbos, cheese making on Shabbos comes under the category of the melacha of binyan. Why so? Because once you've got rid of the whey of the milk and you're left with a curd or small individual pieces, it now takes force, pressure, to then combine the individual components of curd together to form a block of hard cheese. That is a told of the melacha of binyan according to the halacha. And the Kalas HaShabbos says the reason is because the activity is the same, although the purpose isn't the same. Similarly, I think we could say in Tosfos, where Tosfos would say that we do apply the rule of binyan when you are creating a keli, is because again we have the same pa'ula, the same activities that are involved in the structure of the Mishkan. Although that was land-based and here it's not land-based, but since the pa'ulas are the same, although the tachlis is different, it can be a tolda. So we have here a tolda of the melacha of binyan in the construction of a kelim. Now there's one fundamental difference between the structures of kelim and structures that are land-based, and that is that in to be chayav from the melacha of boina in the case of a land-based structure, then any addition, even if it is not attached firmly, but it is an addition that was specifically intended to be an addition to the current structure, even if it isn't attached firmly, yachai for the melacha of binyan. So for example, if you have a fitted cupboard which is attached to the walls of your house, and the knob of the cupboard falls off, or a shelf falls out, and you reattach that on Shabbos, that could be under the melacha of binyan of the karka, and could be a nisa d'oraisa. However, where it comes to a kelim, in order for the structure to be considered creating a kelim, as we said, that you're only chayav in binyan when you're creating a kelim, has to be, says Tosfos, fitted together with force, b'chozek, says Tosfos, and b'umna. Has to be a skilled craftsmanship involved, and with force. If you don't have those two components, then you haven't, it can't be considered to be constructed, having constructed a keli. Because, why? So the Moshe Feinstein explains in the Tshuva Arachaim, in the first Chelek, explains like this, that two individual pieces of wood, let's say, can be used for whatever you like. If you combine them together loosely, you've not made any change to those individual pieces of wood. They're still individual pieces of wood. And to be high for Melech on Shabbos, you have to have Melech Machsheves, you have to have done something, you have to have created something. Where the pieces are combined with force, and skill and craftsmanship, it can be now considered that you've created something new, something different, something that you didn't have before. You now have a keli that has to be dismantled with force, and it can't just be taken apart loosely. There you're high for the melacha of binyan bekelim, and as I said, it has to be with force and with craftsmanship, as Tosa said. But in addition to anything which is land-based, a structure which is land-based, and you purposefully add it in order to add to the structure, then that would come under the category of binyan bekarka. Okay. Therefore, says Tosfos, that in the case of the mitzvah shel tasim, as it's called in the Gemara, the craftsman's table, if that would be fitted together firmly, it would be fitted together with force and with craftsmanship, that is what the Gemara calls yitzka shema yitzka, that would be a chiyuv according to Tosfos of the melacha of binyan. And according to Rashi, it would be makom patish. And it's crucial to have those two components, force and umnas. Similarly, says Tosfos, if a keli breaks, and in order to reconstruct it, you require force and craftsmanship, then that is now considered a broken keli. To repair it is considered making the keli again, and you hire for binyan. Not so if the pieces fit together loosely, where it's just a question of just assembling and disassembling it, then that comes under the category of ein binyan bekelim. There's no such a thing as binyan. And if we refer to the melacha of makom patish, again, it's not a melacha, because makom patish involves creating something, enabling the functionality of something to be used. You already have that in the case of a structure that is fitted together loosely, and we don't consider it to be making it anew. Therefore, the halacha is that if you have feathers that you and a cushion, the feathers need to go into the cushion in order to create the functionality of the cushion. To make that on Shabbos for the very first time, although it's a very loose connection, but because you're enabling something to be used, you're creating something with functionality, comes under the category of makom patish, and you can't do it for the very first time on Shabbos. But once it's done, even if the feathers come out, you may restore them on Shabbos, because then it's always considered, the feathers are always considered to be part and parcel of this item. And therefore you may repair that on Shabbos. And there's very interesting examples of that, but I don't want to go too much into makom patish today. I want to stick to binyan. But in binyan, in order for it to be binyan, it has to be with force and craftsmanship. Now, there's three levels of joining, three categories. We've talked about two. We've talked about something that's fitted together with force, with craftsmanship, with skill. And we've talked about the top level, and to do that is the Issa Deraisa. And we've talked about fitting something together loosely, which is a perfectly permitted thing to do. Minatoya. There is a middle level. There's a middle level of something which is fitted together tightly. It's a tight joint, but doesn't require force and craftsmanship. There's a middle level which the halacha is called hiduk. So we have the top level, which is tekiah shema yitzka, a firm joint. The middle level hiduk, which is a tight joint but can easily be taken apart, and the lowest level of rofui, which is a very loose joint that it completely loose. Okay, the halacha goes like this: the halacha in Shimon Shin Yud Gimel Sivov and Siv Ches, that the following is true. If the keli is normally fitted together with the top level joint with tekiah, which is with force and craftsmanship, then the halacha is, if that breaks on Shabbos, you may not even fit it together with a second level, with hiduk, and you may not even fit it together loosely. Here is the gezeirah, because since it is normal for this keli to be fitted together with force and craftsmanship, and that is how it's used, then it's very easy to, even if one fits it together loosely, to come to fit it together tightly. And if one does, that would be an Issur D'oraisa. So a Keli which is normally B'Tekiah, top level, you may not even do Rafui at the bottom level. A Keli which is normally Rafui, which is normally fitted together loosely, is permitted to fit together loosely. When it comes to a Keli which is normally fitted together at the middle level, Hiduk, and we'll give some examples in a minute, here we have two opinions. We have the opinion of the Tur, and the Tur says that since it is not normal to do the top level, then you may do the bottom level. You may fit it together loosely. You can't do the middle level, but you may fit it together loosely. Again, it's a gezeirah. Although it's normal to use this keli with a middle level, but since it's possible to do a tekiah, then you may not even fit it together loosely according to the tur. The Maharam disagrees, brought down a second opinion, Shulchan Aruch, that such a type of keli is I can't remember which way around I'm saying it now. That such a type of keli should din hakotz k'din amito, that it is not allowed to be fitted together loosely. So again, I'll go over the two opinions. I'm sorry if I confused you. You have the first opinion that says that if it is normally fitted together at the middle level, you may do it loosely. And the second opinion says that if it is normally fitted together at the middle level, you may not do it loosely. Okay. So let's give the following example. The leg of a chair falls out. The leg of a chair falls out on Shabbos. May you restore it to the chair. May you fit it back together again. Now the leg of a chair is normally fitted together in the top level. It's with force, it's with craftsmanship, it is a proper joint. So that would come under the category of the top level, and therefore you may not even fit it together loosely. You may not even fit it together in a loose way, because there's a gezeirah that you may come to do the tekiah. Not only that, but because of that, the chair now becomes muktzah. Because since if you would fit it together, you'd be over an Issur D'oraisa, the halacha is that is muktzah. So it's quite strict in that the leg of a chair comes out such that you can no longer use the chair, and it's fitted together with skill and craftsmanship, so you can't move the chair. But let's say the seat of the chair falls out. The seat of the chair, which is not fitted together with such precision, with such force, and with such craftsmanship, it's perhaps just attached. It may be very tightly attached, but it's not attached with any force and craftsmanship, or screws and nails, which we'll see about screws in a minute. There it would be permitted to replace, certainly, barofli. Okay. Now, what is the din of a screw? Now, nails and pegs would definitely come under the category of tekiah, because in order to fit a nail together, you have to use force, otherwise it doesn't go in. Now, a screw which is screwed into a piece of wood with a screwdriver equally requires force. So that also comes under the top level category. And that to do that would be an Issur D'oraisa. But what about a nuts and bolts, where the connection is made a very tight connection, but there's no force required, you just have to turn the nut? It's not like banging in a nail or fitting two pieces of wood together that require a terrific amount of force.
It can be loose as well.
Now that is subject to a machlotus between the Magen Avraham and the Taz, which the Sharatian brings down. The Magen Avraham says that we have to look at the strength of the joint. We don't look at the method of how it's joined together. You have to look at the strength of the joint. If it is a tight joint, it comes under the category of tzokah, the top level. The Maamar Matzah disagrees, and he says that, but there's no force involved. There's no force involved in its construction. And the Malach of Binyan, as we explained, it doesn't look at the functionality and at the result. It looks at how it's created. It looks at whether it's created with skill and whether it's created with force, with chizuk and be'umnus. Therefore, says the Maamar Matzah, a screw that is attached in this way with a bolt, or you have sometimes two pieces that one of them has a thread of a screw and the other has sort of the similar thread inside, but the reverse, so that the two pieces screw together, like in a thermos flask, for example, you've got two pieces. That type of joint, says the Maamar Matzah, can't be considered the top level, but it can be considered the middle level. It's a tight joint, and we consider it the middle level. So, according to the Magen Avraham, we treat this type of screw join as a tekiah. To do that would be an Issa Daraisa. It's tekiah itself. According to the Ma'amar Masa, which the Taz explains, that would be level 2. It would be an Issa Drabona. But, if it's possible to join that with a tekiah, with the top level, then it comes under this category of Issa Drabona. And it's now subject to the other machlokas that we had. According to the first opinion, it can be joined loosely, and according to the second opinion, it can't be joined loosely. But according to the Magen Avraham, it's treated as a tekiah, the top level, and it's an issur d'oraisa to do so. So if the chair is fitted together in such a way, then this is what the halach would be. And the Magen Avraham says, l'chatzchila, we should be choshish there. The Mishnah Berurah says that we should be choshish for the Magen Avraham, and treat this type of joint as a tekiah, which means it would be an issur d'oraisa. So, if we now look at the situation, what would be with the glasses? And the glasses, if the temple of the glasses breaks, comes off, it's fitted together with a screw. According to the Magen Avraham, that joint, although it doesn't require force, but since it is a tight joint, it would come under the category of the top level of the derisa, which would mean you cannot fit the screw back to the glasses even if you do it loosely. So you can't fit the temple back to the frame even if it's done loosely. Why? Because since this joint is normally done at top level, everyone agrees that you can't do it loosely. Not only that, but just like the chair which breaks and it's fitted together with tekiah, there is a din of mukta on the chair. The glasses would now have that din of mukta, that you can't move the glasses at all. Okay. So I'm saying even loosely you can't. You're saying what? Well, if it's already, it would be a gazera that you may come to do a tekiah. Okay. So this looks like a very strict halacha.
With a glass comes out.
With a glass. Okay, we'll come to that in a minute if you don't mind. We'll come to that. So now, what answer have we got? Can we do anything? Okay. The halacha in connection with the chair is as follows. If the leg of the chair is completely broken, that you cannot repair the chair, or the leg is lost, you don't have the leg, you can't do the tekiah. It's physically not possible for you to do the top level joint. Therefore, the halacha is that the chair is not mukta in those circumstances, and you may move the chair. You obviously haven't got the legs, so you can't put the leg back, but you can move the chair and support the fourth side on another chair, on a bench, so that it doesn't fall, but it doesn't become mukta. If we take this parallel to the case of the glasses, if the temple is actually broken, that you can't fit repair it, then at least the glasses won't be mukta, and if you could still wear them as they are, you'd be okay. And if you could put some very loose contraption to make it stay on, you'd be able to do that. Similarly, what if, you know, this is an occasion where it's worth losing a screw. What if you've lost the screw? And you haven't got the screw. So again, you can't do the melacha of tekiah. In this case as well, it's similar to the case where you've lost the leg of the chair, and the glasses are not mukta, and you may still carry on wearing those glasses. There is Magen Avraham says clearly that in a case where it's never possible to do the top level joint. Up till now we've always been talking about a situation where it's possible to do the top level joint, the tekiah, and either it's normally done so, or it's normally done with a hiduk, but it could be done with a tekiah, or it's normally done roughly, but it could be done with a tekiah. That is what we've been talking about till now. But if the joint is never subject to a tekiah, then it's not subject to this halacha at all, because there's no tekiah involved. It's similar to the case where you lose the leg, or the leg is broken, where tekiah is not practical. So the Magen Avraham says that if a joint is never considered to be tekiah, then this problem doesn't arise. And now it could be that we could deal with the lens that comes out, and let's talk about a plastic frame. Because if it's a metal frame and it's joined together with a screw, then you've got the problem of tachia. But if it's not fitted together with a screw, but the lens is just fitted in, and I think a plastic frame is like, perhaps some modern day frames also like that, I don't know. Here you can now consider what level joint you consider this to be. Is this a type of joint which is, because by nature of the fact that you have to use some force to fix the lens into the frame, that it would be called a tachia? But if you wouldn't require that much force, it would fit together without a force, and it's an easy joint, then it could be perhaps that we could consider this to be the case of a situation where it's never possible to do tachia, and therefore it would be permitted in those situations to fit the lens back into the glasses. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman does say in quoted in the Shemir Shabbos that fitting the lens back into the glasses would be a case of tikkun mone, and I think the reason why he said that is because you cannot use the glasses without the lens, and we consider the glasses to be broken, and a repair job could come under the category of makom patish, even if it's not binyan. So it could be that's why it would be prohibited, even irrespective of the discussion that we've had till now. But if we don't treat it like that, if we treat it that it is not considered to be broken, and the joint is only a middle level joint, and it's never possible to do the top level joint, you could fit the lens back into the glasses. And I think in a plastic lens that could be the case. But in a metal frame where it's fitted together with a screw, the Magen Avraham says that a screw, even if it doesn't require force, but because of the nature of the joint, it's called a tachia, you may not even fit it together loosely, and therefore you cannot put the screw back even loosely. And if you still have the temple and you still have the screw, it would be muktzah. But if the temple is broken or you don't have the screw and it's not possible for you to do tachia, then the glasses are not muktzah and you can carry on wearing them.